Krishna, 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 Krish विघ्नहराय नम कृष्णयारवाय नम Jai 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 Jai
Prabhupada Ki. Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki. Shri Shri Dayal Natai Chaitanya Ki. Gaur Vimalanandi Hare Devo. Discussion? No? No? Okay. Bye. So, my name is Hanumat Preshrak. I didn't know what it meant for a long time, actually. But it's in the Indian letter, small inland letter, it says Preshrak Karnamahe, name of sender. So when Ram was sending Hanuman to find Sita, his name is Hanumat Preshrak. He's sending Hanuman, sender of Hanuman, like that. And I was initiated in 1974, and by Srila Prabhupada. And I do a lot of different programs, in ISKCON. And I worked for some time with the Bhakti Vedanta Institute, our science program. And for several years, we were bringing dancers, musicians from Manipur. Manipur, they all became Gaudiya Vaishnavas. In the 17th century, they all became Hare Krishna devotees, like that, in the whole country. So, and now I go through South America about twice a year, doing programs down there. And we're especially working with one university there, very successful. This is my folder for South America. Ricardo Palma University. It's one of the best universities in Peru. Peru is on the southwest side of of South America. And a very, very nice place. It has a very strong tradition of mysticism, and mangoes are 5 cents a pound. And that. Very, very nice place to go. One of these third world countries where you can't get hamburgers and gasoline so easily. All these mangoes and bananas and papayas and with flavors like that. So we did programs there trying to develop Krishna consciousness and preaching our social philosophy, Varnashram system like that. But behind all this, once people are a little attractive, a little intelligent, of course, is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And all over India, all over the world, in fact, actually everybody, you see the baby here, doesn't know anything, right? Like that. Actually, when babies are born, one eye goes this way, one eye goes that way. They don't know how to focus their eyes, which way the food's supposed to go, it's supposed to go up or down. Really, the mother has to massage them and when my eyes start going pale like that. You big kirtan someday. Yeah. Just gotta learn the mantra though. In Vrindavan, all the babies in Vrindavan. We go on the Braj Mandal Parikrama sometimes during Kartik. You go all the way around Vrindavan. And we walk for 1 month to all the different places like that. And stay in farmhouses, schools, tents at night. It's very, very nice. You really penetrate into the whole atmosphere. But we go through little villages with no electricity, simple cows. And all the little children are sitting on the side of the fences, like looking at all these Western European devotees going by. And a little baby this big will be saying, Jai Rad Hey! Jai Rad Hey! Jai Rad Hey! And little baby's like, it's the first thing they learn to say, Jai Rad Hey! Jai Rad Hey! Maybe, So Lord Chaitanya, in the Bhagavad Gita, 5,000 years ago, many people accept that Krishna is the Param Brahman, the source of everything, the cause of all causes. Other people don't accept that. He's lusty cowherd boy, and the Krishna in Vrindavan was different than the Krishna in Dwarka. So many different ideas. But at least in general, many people are understanding, well, Krishna is the same God. He's God. Actually, the word God in English comes from the German word Guten, in German. This is according to the Oxford Book of Etymologies, Origin of Words. The word God comes from the German word Guten, which they say comes from the Sanskrit word Huten, right? Which in modern Hindi is Havan, like that. So, in any sacrifice in the Vedas, you can worship Varuna, you can worship Agni, you can worship Saraswati, what you want. It's optional what you're trying to do like that. But it's one deity that has to be present. Otherwise, the whole thing doesn't work. And that's called the Huten. Huta means he who must be worshipped, not optional. And that's the Shalagram Shila, right? Unless the Vishnu Shila is there, any sacrifice, the whole thing is just useless. Doesn't work like that. So Allah, I think, means all just. Jehovah means all merciful, something like that. But then God means ultimately he who must be worshipped, like that. You can worship Bill Gates or not worship Bill Gates. You know, maybe so different results like that. One of our friends, our disciples, he works for Bill Gates. So on. He's worth something, I don't know, $20 billion or something like that. You know, so. Money ceases to have meaning at that point. So, you know, people are looking at Krishna maybe as this God coming 5,000 years ago. And he's just, you know, supporting all the Vedic literatures. They say every other incarnation of Krishna is. Varaha, the first incarnation was Varaha. And after that, I don't know, Matsya? Somewhere.
Well, Matsya first?
You get later. Because Varaha was the first. The universe was created. It was during one of the changes of Manvantara, that Varaha came later. Matsya came later. So Varaha, Matsya, Korma, Nishringa, Parasuram, so many incarnations are coming like that. You know? But they relieve people from the material distress. Somebody being bothered by something. The demigods are all praying, you know, for an incarnation because the sons of Diti and Kasyapa, they're the primordial gods and goddesses. When the whole universe is created, it's like steam. It's very subtle and like dreams. So Kasyapa, Diti. And they had unfortunately, children. Hare Krishna. So, unfortunately, they had relations and had two very, very horrible sons. Their names were?
Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu.
He liked mattresses, Kasipu, and gold, Hiranya. Like, that was his ambition in life. And when they were born, they grew up to be very, very powerful, very strong. And when they would walk on the sidewalk on the street, the earth would shake under their feet. And their bodies were so powerful that they would block out the sunlight. Yeah, well, look at this. Do not be afraid. We are Shudakana people. Eat people. So Prabhupada says every materialist has this desire that when he walks, people will see him and the whole world will appear to shake when he enters the room, and his body will be so powerful the sun becomes, you know, endangered by the power of his form, like that. So they were going all over the place, and Hiranyaksha, he was always eager to please his older brother. Later on he became Kumbhakarna, and then after that he became Dantavakra. You see the same personality. Ravana, Hiranyakasipu, Shishupal. You know. So he was going around harassing everybody, challenging everybody. And he went into the ocean and he challenged Varuna. And Varuna said, "Well, we're too old to fight with you, like that, retired from the fighting business. You should go and look for the oldest person, Vishnu, and he'll be able to give you a good fight." You know. So then he went off looking for him, and the earth was, was booming. I think it was not. Bhumi was at that time. Yeah, Bhumandal. Bhumandal was in her buoyancy was taken as she was down in the Garbhodak Ocean. But this Garbhodak Ocean is kind of like an ontological ocean. It's kind of ocean of ultimate realities or something. It's not like, you know, water. Actually, you can match all these things to Western science. Yeah. So the flotation had lost, and she was down in these subterranean regions. Who's this? Okay. Yeah. Nityananda Prabhu ki. He's come to hear our Krishna Katha. Kill us. So the Garbhodak Ocean, Bhumi had fallen down to the Garbhodak Ocean. So then Lord Brahma was in anxiety about this because he wanted to create more bodies for more living entities. He created the original gods and goddesses, but he had thousands and millions of people, billions, that wanted material bodies to drink blood, to fly in the sky, okay, mosquitoes, birds. Yeah, but all he had was a few original gods and goddesses. So Sadarupa and Swayambhuva, first Manu and his wife were born, appeared from his heart, and they agreed to be the biological father and mother of everybody. But they said, but there's a problem. There's no place to have a home. There's no Bhumandal. If you're going to have this biological reproduction, you have to have a physical place like that. And so then Brahma's in anxiety. Oh my gosh, the asuras have taken Bhumi down into the Bhumandal, down into the Garbhadak ocean. What's going to happen now? So then out of his nose came a little pig, like that, out of his nose. Ever happened to you? Maybe sometime with a lot of anxiety. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki.
Yeah.
All very beautiful dresses. So this little pig came out of his nose, floating in the air. It got bigger and bigger and bigger, and finally, it was Varaha avatar, and he entered into the Garbhadak ocean and lifted the earth up on his tusks like that. You know, he said, "Thank you, sir, for your generosity." But then Hiranyaksha was going around beating the ocean with his club, you know, ha ha ha, big mustache like that, and he saw this. And it's a very I think it's a funny incarnation. If you read the whole thing, it's kind of like a joke, you know. It's like, you know. So you Hindus believe that God is a giant red pig with a stick. So you Christians believe that your God is born from a virgin as well. So anyways, then Hiranyaksha said, "Oh, stop, O amphibious beast! Right? You cannot take the earth from our charge without a fight." Like that. And Lord Varaha was a little insulted by this. He said, he thought he actually looked pretty good. He said, "Yes, it is that we are beasts of the forests and we are used to killing dogs like you." Like that. So they had this big fight, insulting each other, went on and on like that. And then finally, with an indifferent slap of his left trotter, you know, in his ear, he went down dead like that after a long fight. Then Lord Brahma came and said, "Oh, what blessed death the crest jewel of Diddy's offspring has met now that he has shuffled off his mortal coil." It's very Shakespearean English like that. And so he relieved his distress. All the demigods are praying, because there's so much problem in the universe. All the demigods are praying to Vishnu to incarnate and have some kind of solution like that. So he relieved the material distress of all the demigods. You know. But he didn't give liberation to anybody. What to speak of love of God? So other incarnations, Prahlad was suffering, and he became relieved from the harassment by his father, and liberated from this condition like that. So it's very, very rare the incarnations, even Krishna comes and even gives liberation to people from this samsara. Usually people want more material enjoyment. One old lady, she had no family, she was living a very difficult life in a little village. And every day she walked this long distance where the woodcutters were cutting wood. She would bargain with them, fight over some wood like that. I think it was not. I think it was good. And so finally she makes some little arrangement to buy a little bit of wood. They would tie it in her cloth, right, and put it on her head. And she would walk over the hills, struggling with this wood, to get back down to her little village and open her cloth. And then she would, argue with people over the price of wood. And at night she had just enough money to eat and sleep in the marketplace, someplace like that, you know. So she's very unhappy in her life. So one day she's coming back and the knot comes undone. And all the wood falls on the ground. And she can't put it back by herself, and she falls on the ground and goes crying, "Narayan, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan," scratching the ground. And Narayan appears in front of her. There he is, Narayan. Over here. Otherwise, when the door opens, you become Spanish and plasticated. Yeah. So Narayan comes in front of her and says, "What do you want, old lady?" And she says, "Put all the wood back on my head." And he says, "Are you sure it's what you want?" "Yes, please, put all the wood back on my head." So she can have anything she wants, right? But she's so conditioned that the demigods are praying. In the famous story in the Bhagavad Gita of Vritasura, he's fighting with Indra, and it goes on for a long time. And finally, Indra's going to kill him, and Vritasura's laughing. And Indra says, "Why are you laughing?" "Because you fool, you think you've won the battle. But I'm going to go back to Godhead, and you're going to stay in the material world. You idiot." So Indra's a little depressed by this, you know, after he has to do his duty. See, it's very, very rare incarnations actually give anything other than, you know, some material adjustment, because that's our position, our desire. Usually we're karmis, right? Karmi is somebody who wants Hare Krishna. Comes from a bear, right? Hey, everyone, what's going on? Yeah, a little more room in. Interest people coming. So a karmi is somebody who wants some result, some for his karma, wants to do something and get some result for his enjoyment. A vikarmi is somebody who does any old thing. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, it's difficult to understand what is karma, what is akarma, and what is vikarma. So vikarma means you act like an animal. You get any kind of thing you want to do, you do it, you get what you want, without any concern for reaction or anything else like that. But a karmi is somebody who follows the rules and regulations of his particular religion, his culture. A Mohammedan, he can marry four wives, I forgot how many, some arrangement like that, not seven or something. He has to bow down so many times a day to Mecca, give so much charity. So he follows rules and regulations, and then Allah is pleased with him. Karma biya paritahare. Yeah, Krishna is pleased with the karmis. They're nice people. They do these things properly. But still, they're less intelligent because all these things ultimately result in death, you know, old age, disease. If you want to enjoy something cool when you're hot, that's because you're hot, right? If you want to enjoy something sweet after some bitter things, it's because you tasted bitter things. So it's all duality. There's no real pleasure like that. Yeah? And so then, above these, into the jnani, a little bit of knowledge, he realizes he wants liberation from these things like that. So then some incarnations they give liberation from the samsara. Yeah? But even Krishna didn't give love for Krishna right out freely like that. This is the highest thing. But they just give these four goals of life. You know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Follow dharma, get some economic development, have sense gratification, and then liberation from all these things like that. Panchama pumarto mahan. But beyond all these is the fifth goal, panchama pumarta. And that's prema. Right? You can get free from all these things. Liberation is sometimes compared to the pleasure of not being sick. Right? It's like, or not being a poor man. You know? Well, okay, see, that's something, but it's, the idea is that, not being a poor man, it means being a rich man. Okay, but you don't talk about that. You know, it's neti-neti. Get free from this, get free from that. Go to the Brahman. Right? But then beyond that is positive actual life. You know? Getting out of the prison is one thing. But unless you have a positive engagement, you'll go back again. You do the same thing you did again. What else do you know? Yeah. So positive engagement in spiritual life is prema. Different rasas, exchange of rasas with Krishna in the spiritual world. So very few incarnations talk about this. Even Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a little bit confidential knowledge to some degree. You know. So, namo mahavaranyaya krishna prema pradayate krishnaya krishna chaitanyanam nigaraveshe namaha. Lord Chaitanya is appearing in Navadvip, just 500 years ago, very historical personality. And people didn't know who he was, or what his particular situation was. At that time, Navadvip was the center of all the education, everything in Bengal. So many thousands and millions of people there. So in that way, his activities were a little bit covered. Gupta, who is this person? What is he doing? And some people were appreciating, some people weren't appreciating like that. Of course, Nityananda, Balaram, he's even more aggressive like that. He forces you to take love for Krishna. When Krishna came 5,000 years ago, all the stimulus is there for love of Krishna. It's called Anubhava? It's called Anubhava. Anubhava, Vibhava. Vibhava, Anubhava. Krishna's very, very beautiful, right? Just seeing Krishna, you love him. If you go outside, a little child playing outside with curly black hair, with his ball, with his puppy, you look at him and you say, "You're Krishna." And he says, "Yes, I'm Krishna." you're Rajiv, no? "Yes, I'm Rajiv." "But you're Krishna." "Well, I am Krishna, you're Rajiv. So what's the difference?" "Don't bother me." He's so beautiful, so attractive, so humble. He's the most renounced person. If we were God, we want everybody to know like that. But Krishna, you have your job, I have my job. Don't harass me. If you want to play with my ball, okay. Wow. So he's all attractive. He's humble, he's beautiful, he's rich, he's famous, he's powerful. He can save you from death. Mitya, mitya, as I go, mitya, mitya, or something, haram, like that. Nishingadev. Yeah? So many more expanding qualities, more and more expanding qualities like that. So this stimulates love for Krishna. It's our natural position to be stimulated by Krishna's smile, by the sound of his flute, by the sound of his ankle bell, by the smell of his body, by his humor, his poetry. Yeah? And when Krishna came, It was all there 5,000 years ago. But to appreciate this, you had to be pure devotee, right? No material desires. When Krishna entered the arena of Kamsa for the fight, for the, you know, the Dhanur Yajna, different people saw in different ways. You know, the wrestlers saw him as the most powerful person, like that. You know, the unintelligent saw him as a fool, right? The young girls saw him as the most attractive Cupid. Kamsa saw him as death personified. Yamaraj's assistant. Death personified. So everybody had different impression like that. But Yashoda saw him as like, you know, your young son in a dangerous position like that. Horrible. Was Yashoda? No, the Devaki. Devaki. Yeah. So different people had different relationships. Ye tam mam pravajante tam pataiva bhajami aham. However you surrender unto me, I reciprocate accordingly. Like that. But only people who are free. Yeshim tvantakata papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanva mohanir mukta bhajate mam dudavrataha. Only those people who are free from sinful reactions and burn up from the last time in this lifetime, who are engaged in worshiping Krishna, you know, properly, they can see him, understand him like that. So even Krishna didn't give love of God so freely. Some people were promoted. Some people were able to go ahead like that. But Lord Chaitanya is coming, and then different people, Rupa Goswami, and different acharyas, associates, Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was the leader of all the different followers of Lord Chaitanya. He and his brother Sanatana Goswami and Anupam, their other third brother, were the ministers of Nawab Hussain Shah. He was so powerful, he conquered Bengal and was heading towards Orissa. Very powerful Muslim, you know, Raja. And he put all the government under the control of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and Anupam. And they were managing all these affairs. One description is they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to work for this, you know, meat-eating drunkard guy. But he said, either you do this or I'll start killing one Brahmin every day. They said, all right, got a deal. So they were the home minister, finance minister, and external minister. And when someone would come into their assembly, they would personally stand up and see them like that. Not me. Too arrogant. See, who are you? Everybody was very nicely dealt by them. And the whole government was going on very nicely under their care like that. Yeah. But then they renounced everything, right, to become followers of Krishna Chaitanya, some higher position. So in that position, Rupa Goswami had this prayer, Namo Mahabhara Nyaya, Krishna Prima Padayate, Krishna and Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guraveshi Namaha. Namo Mahabhara Nyaya, most merciful, right? Most merciful avatar. Wow, it's 20-foot long garland. Wow, look at that. Wow. Where'd you get all these flowers?
Where did you get all these flowers?
Sorry. How did you get
them? Yeah. Oh, where'd you get them?
Temple.
Temple, where the temple get them? From Krishna. Yeah. So he's the Mahabharanyaya avatar. He's the most merciful incarnation of Krishna. Because he's giving what no other incarnation has ever given before. His most confidential, you know, mellows of love of God like that. Krishna comes in every yuga, right, to establish the process of religion. He comes in the Satya Yuga and establishes the process of meditation, jhana, introspection. They had a long time and a very peaceful atmosphere. In the Treta Yuga, he comes and establishes the process of Agnihotra, Havan. And by this you can actually see the gods, so they come, they receive their offerings like that. In Dwapara Yuga, he comes and establishes puja, right? Archa Seva. But in Kali Yuga, he establishes congregational chanting of the glories of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirtan. You know St. Francis? San Francisco? Very famous Christian saint. He would go out with his followers with drums and flutes, and they would sing about God, and he said, this is the best way to worship God. So all over the world, right, people appreciating the Sankirtan. So Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga avatar. He's come to deliver this process, to inaugurate it like that. But he's not only the Yuga avatar, he's Krishna himself coming. Not just Vishnu form, but giving the holy names in the mood of Vrindavan. Right? In Vaikuntha, everybody worships God with reverence, awe, respect, like that. How beautiful he is. But in Vrindavan, people think of him as their own family member. And they can play with Krishna, like as friends, or take Krishna as their little child and chastise him for doing the wrong thing. You know? So he comes in the mood of Vrindavan, you know, giving the holy names. It's a very special Kali Yuga. And not only that, but in the mood of Radharani, the best of all the gopis, Gopi Bhava, which even in Vrindavan is something so miraculous. And not only that, but...
freely.
Huh?
Gives it freely.
No, Radharani in the mood of separation from Krishna. Because Radharani's love for Krishna is so intense, but when she's separated from Krishna, it becomes even more intense like that. So don't miss out. This is a very unusual opportunity. This incarnation doesn't come around all that often. Actually, the Ramananda Roy was just... Lord Chaitanya was talking to Ramananda Roy in South India. And Lord Chaitanya was saying, tell me the best thing you know. He said, well, you should do your work and, you know, properly and, you know, get good sense gratification. He said, no, that's material, something higher. So he went higher and higher and higher. And finally he comes to pure devotional service as the goal of God, love of God, always hearing about God. He says, yes, that's transcendental. That's pure religion. Something higher. He says, well, devotional service in the mood of a servant is higher than this neutrality, actually serving Krishna, like Hanuman. So that's wonderful. Something higher. Well, higher than that, he goes to Sakya Ras, and he goes higher, higher. And he comes to Madhurya Ras, and Madhurya Ras, and the mood of Radharani, then separation. And then he starts to say something even higher than that, and Lord Chaitanya covers his mouth. So there's no limit like that. Prabodhananda Saraswati, in his book here, there you go. He's becoming addicted over there. So let it go. Well, Lord Chaitanya, he grew up in Navadvip for 24 years. And then to preach, he took sannyas. Like that's a whole story. His mother and Vishnupriya were dying, separation from him, but he walked away to preach, to save the world. It's a very famous picture of him walking away called Nirdoyal, no mercy, like that. So he went then to Jagannath Puri, and he was there just a little while to rescue Sarvabhauma. And he took off on a tour all the way down through South India, which took about... I think it took 12 years, more than that. Quite some time, he was traveling, preaching. Then he came back to Puri for a little bit, then went to Vrindavan, then back again. So this is called Majalila. And then finally when he stayed in Vrindavan, then 6 years, it was 6 years traveling. And then 18 years staying in Puri as Anchalila, like that. So he was traveling everywhere, preaching. And when he went to South India, he went to, of course, to Srivangam. And the two brothers there, Venkatabhata and his brother, were the head of the Brahmin community, the pujaris, in charge of the worshippers of Ranganath. And they were so impressed with this beautiful, you know, Gaudiya sannyasi, tall and so pure and just full of, you know, knowledge and also pure mellow love of God. So he said, please, Chaturmasi is coming. You have to stay someplace, so stay with us. He said, all right. So for 4 months he was staying there and preaching with them. There were so many discussions about philosophy. So Prabodhananda Saraswati was Venkata Bhatta's brother, and his nephew became Gopal Bhatta Goswami later on, like that. So he wrote many poems, beautiful descriptions of Krishna, Vrindavan, so many wonderful things like that. But one of them says, "Vanchito Shmi," right? Vanchito Shmi. I was cheated, like that. I was raised up in the opulent worship of Shri and, you know, and Narayan, Aishwarya Bhava, you know, God is so glorious, like that. And in the meantime, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were drowning in Madhurya Ras. Vanchito Shmi, Vanchito Shmi, Vanchito Shmi. I was cheated, I was cheated, I was cheated. So he became Gaudiya Vaishnava. I was raised up in Christianity, Episcopalian. But I also gave me a, was cheated, so became a Hare Krishna devotee. One time we were in Canada, in Vancouver, and I was at Swayambhuva Manu's house. He was a Hindu's house for, he invited us to come for lunch. And then myself, Ajit, and Swayambhuva were chanting some bhajans with a harmonium. And suddenly realized that before I'd been a Christian, Swayambhuva had been a Hindu, and Ajit had been a Muslim. They're all sitting there chanting. He's bhajans. We all asked, well, why'd you do this? Well, because, Prabhupada. Here's somebody who's representing this, giving this, his own life. He's living it, and he's giving all the literature, showing you how to appreciate yourself, you know, this mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Okay. So after that, he wrote, you know, so many beautiful things, became Gaudiya Vaishnava. This is Vrindavan Dham Mahimamrita, the Nectarian Glories of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Shataka? 100 verses. But he wrote about at least 18 of these, so 1,800 verses like that of glories of Vrindavan. One of my friends, Samaresh Bandopadhyaya from Bengal, he was head of the Department of Ancient History in Calcutta University, like that. So he started learning Sanskrit when he was 6 years old and so on. But he said reading the Sanskrit, he thought that Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Prabhupada Lord Chaitanya, were something like, you know, lower class type people, very bad reputation because of these sahajas. But then he started reading the Sanskrit, and he said, my gosh, this Sanskrit is so elevated. Even I have a hard time understanding what it means like that and so on. You know? So many very, very elevated followers of Sarabhauma, followers of Lord Chaitanya. Actually, people who know world religion, they say, really, compared to Jesus Christ, Muhammad, practically speaking, any great religious prophet, the followers of Lord Chaitanya are without a doubt among the highest class people. Maharaj Prataparudra, Sarabhauma Bhattacharya, the Goswamis, they're all very, very educated, wealthy, cultured people like that. Other people too, you know. So it's a very authorized movement, you know, historically. If you go to the University of California library, you can still find books by Vasudeva Sarabhauma on logic there. It was like 500 years later, he's still studying his books on logic like that, and so on. It's a very high-class movement. And so the essence is this Maha Mantra. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalo, Kalavana Stevana Stevana Steva, Gati Danyata. You sit together congregationally, chant, and everything else will follow. But if you want to accelerate the process, then there's so much philosophy given to understand like how to chant, the different levels, the mellows, the mood, the consciousness, avoiding different misconceptions. And again, Our Lady, whose wood falls in the ground, she's also chanting the name of God, right? But she has so many material desires that God can't give her, you know, something higher than that, you know? So by associating with Prabhupada, by reading his books, then we see this pure bhajan. One time Prabhupada said, if you want to be free from anxiety, read my books. There's no anxiety in my books, like that. It's a fact. You go reading 20 minutes reading, your whole life changes. Inside you feel something change. It's all about Krishna, service to Krishna. There's nothing about service for me. Usually most books you read them, self-improvement books or yoga books, you have to do this austerity, that austerity, and then you enjoy like that. But in Prabhupada's books, you never come to the point where you're enjoying. It's always more and more austerities like that. But Krishna's enjoying more and more like that. So gradually, it's a whole process. Adoshrada, Sadhu Sangha, Vajna Kriya, Nartana Vrishti, you get freed. And it's reawaken your spontaneous, you know, attraction for Krishna. Like that. So any questions, comments? A little ceremony, we're tying the altar today here. It's okay.
Maharaj said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in the is an incarnation of Krishna and Radharani. So the love giving aspect is of Radharani.
Krishna Parivadayate. Yeah. Reawakens our love of God.
No, actually, there are different qualities in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah.
Unlike Krishna, he really gives the love of God. So because he's a devotee, because of the devotee aspect of Radharani, is it?
Yeah, he's in the humor. He's Krishna in the mood of Radharani. In the humor. The story is that one time in Vrindavan, Krishna's, talking with Lalita and Vishak and others. Why does Radha have so much affection for me? What is it that attracts her so much to me like that? What is her position? So they all go to kind of some kind of confidential place and they're talking about this, and then he enters into her, tries to enter into her appreciation like that. Tries to take the position of his own Shakti like that. Tries to. And then they all become, Lalita becomes Srut Damodar, and Vishaka becomes Ramananda Roy, and they participate and become these incarnations like that to try and understand this, you know, like that. So Radharani is in this mood of inspiring everybody to love Krishna, right? Because there's so much service to Krishna, right? Krishna has so many. Any Krishna? More monkeys. how much more? Krishna is such a lucky fellow. Right? You can offer Krishna 2,000 different preparations. He'll want 2,001. You can offer Krishna beautiful clothes, he'll want something else. Yeah? He'll enjoy those, but after that he'll want something else. Right? He's satisfied that he wants more. So Radharani is so enthusiastic to increase Krishna's service that she expands herself, she just pops like that. She wants to dance for Krishna. She wants to sing for Krishna. She wants to cook for Krishna. She wants to organize parties for Krishna. She wants to play musical instruments for Krishna. All at the same time. So what happens? She becomes 8 principal gopis. Their names are? Who knows? Who knows the 8 principal gopis?
Lalita Vishaka.
Lalita Vishaka. Tungavidra. Prabhupada has certified the incarnation of Tungavidya. Lalita Vishaka. Tungavidya. Chitralekha. Champakalata. Sudevi, Rangadevi. And Indulekha. They're all expansions of Radharani, and they also want to engage other people too, just to try and please Krishna. You know, so everybody has this love for Krishna. They just have to reawaken it like that. So he's coming in that mood, you know, Lord Chaitanya's in that mood, just trying to awaken everybody. Just to, we all have amnesia, right? You know, Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema, Sadya Kabunaya, Shravanadi, Shude Chitta, Karadeyudaya. So it's already there. It has to be awakened by hearing and chanting, talking about Krishna, reading about his pastimes, his activities, right? Yeah? Like that. And for that purpose, we have Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is a complete science of God, right? And the Vedas are Kalpataror. Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam. But Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of all these things, it's the essence of all the Vedas. Is so far superior that it's compared to the moon, compared to the stars. You know, all the stars look very nice. When the moon comes up, oh, it's a big difference. And in one sense, big Sanskrit scholar says, it's not an exaggeration. He says the philosophy, the poetry, the depth of the grammar, he says, it's just a class by itself, the Bhagavad Purana, compared to all the other Puranas that are in Shema. So that's what Chaitanya is giving. Yeah, especially chant the holy names of Krishna, read Srimad Bhagavatam, visit Vrindavan, worship Vrindavan, right? Yeah. Associate with devotees. Yeah. How many people have Srimad Bhagavatam, full set? Get it, it's worth it. It's inexpensive. And then start to read it, you know, from the beginning. There we go.
Did you find it?
We're waiting for
it. 21 Walnut Bill, yeah.
We're waiting for you.
Second grade and...
Get
it?
It's okay?
Yeah. You got it?
Yeah.
How did you get it? Just the call the number, is it? The gate is closed?
Woods on her head. And they all fell down and went to calls for Narayan.
You have to press 201.
Narayan comes and asks, what do you want?
Yeah.
Press 201.
And you also said that the love of Godhead is always there in our heart.
Okay.
It has to be weakened.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know, why doesn't it come out when she sees Lord Narayan right in front of her eyes? At that time, doesn't that love come out automatically?
Well, in the Srimad Bhagavatam is describing him, for example, you know, one man, he asked Prabhupada, he said, show me God, he exists. And Prabhupada laughed and said, show me something that isn't God. Right? You know, some policeman's beating you on the head with a stick, and you say, why are you beating me with a stick? And he says, I am not beating you, the stick is beating you. You know, so Krishna's not different in this world through his feature is Paramatma Advaita. He's meeting everything at every moment. There's no inertia. This is actually a false propaganda. You know, everything has to be maintained at every moment by this aspect of Krishna as Paramatma, right? And so we can perceive him like that. If we have the right orientation, it's just like, oh, the stick is not beating me. The police officer is beating me. Okay, I'm not separated from Krishna. Bina Shakti, he's here. But our attitude is wrong. We don't want to see him. And because of that, he's not forcing himself upon us like that. It's a little child. It's like, I'll never talk to you ever again like that. It goes... You know, so parents don't force him. No, you must look at us. You must talk to us. No, you let him have his free will and his maturity and develop like that. You know, So Krishna is trying to like associate with us in different ways, through different modes like that, through guru, through avatar. Yeah. But we have free will. Right? So Vishuddha Sattva, Durvasa Muni, right, he attacked Ambarish Maharaj. And then Sudarshan Chakra chased him all over the universe for 1 year to all these people. Nobody could protect him. He went right to Sweta Dweep and saw Narayan face to face. So Sat Chit. Hare Krishna. Sat Chit. He went to the beyond the time factor, immortality. Chit. He saw, he could know Vishnu face to face, but no Ananda. No appreciation for Lakshmi, no appreciation for Radharani. So in Vishuddha Sattva, we can see Krishna face to face. And Kapila recommends then just go on meditating on Krishna, on Narayana, on Vishnu, the Paramatma. At some point, they become the first bhava, experience of the sentiment. But it's not pure, it's not continuous. So then there's yoga at that point. Bhakti yoga goes to Vaidhi Bhakti, Vaidhi Bhakti, Raghunuga Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti. So Vaidhi Bhakti means you, somehow or other you're fortunate, you have some taste, some idea, you want to follow these rules and regulations. Prabhupada says, you only take birth in India if in your previous life you were endeavoring for spiritual life, like that. You take birth in Italy if you want good food. France if you want love. But India is for spiritual life. So somehow or other, some attraction, some intelligence, some idea. So you take to the process, following rules and regulations. Vaidhi Bhakti. And then that purifies you. You become free from your entangled material world. And then you can actually really appreciate the humor of Hanuman or some great devotee, Nanda Maharaj, So then Raghunuga, you begin to really try and imitate that humor while you're following your rules and regulations. You can offer lunch to Krishna. Here's your lunch. I'll be back in 1 hour. Haribol. You're doing it. That's biting. But you want to feel something. Well, I don't feel something. Okay, well, how does Yashoda offer lunch to Krishna? Well, it's different than the cowherd boys. They play with Krishna, steal his lunch, Okay, so you Raghunuga, following, imitating. If you do that, after a while, it's like amnesia. The psychologist will give you your favorite coat, show you pictures of your house, have you hear things. He won't bring your wife in because he's going to... He says, well, who are you? I'm your wife. It's just too much, So he says, okay, don't worry, be calm. In 90% of the cases, this can be cured. But what about the 10%? We won't talk about that. So then gradually, different things. This is exactly the same process. So we see a picture of Krishna. We hear about Krishna's pastime. You chant his name, you meditate. And then at some point, this Raghunuga, you try to do the right humor like that, And then what happens? We get some experience. Finally, some real experience starts to come like that. So this is the beginning of bhava bhakti, some real sentiment. But it's not pure, it's not intense, it's not solid. No more matches for the fire. Now you get a real fire. But you put too much wood on, you'll kill the fire. Not enough, you'll kill the fire. Too much air, too little air. So at this point, the yoga changes in bhava bhakti like that. And so then you can, if you want to, stimulate this, and then finally it comes back to your full natural condition. You have a proper reaction to Krishna like that. So people always seeing God, but somebody see in the mode of ignorance, we worship God out of fear. Oh Allah, please do not kill me for having done what I just did, like that. I will bow down to you. In the mode of passion, we worship God, we want things. Please give me this, please give me that, please put the wood back on our head. But finally, if we get in the mode of goodness, then we understand God, and we worship Him out of duty, what is proper, And then that position is very easy for our spontaneous love to reawaken. So we should try and be in goodness, okay? If we can't be spiritual, be good, right? So. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Shrimati Thomas Vakata Krishna. Even if you sleep during the class, you're making advancement. You're making advancement. Yes. Yeah. It's so purifying. Yes, sir.
Maharaj, can you please share with us how did you come to Krishna consciousness?
This is the last question. Bhagavatam means somebody's in anxiety, Krishna arranges for him to meet a guru, Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, somebody. Then he explains what is the spiritual world, what is the material world, how Krishna associates to all of his energies and avatars, which we haven't discussed. He says, any questions? He asks more technical questions. And usually he asks, well, how did you realize this? Because example is very important. You know? Well, I think it has a... Since I was a child, I was kind of attracted to some kind of spiritual consciousness and whatever contact I had through my Christian background and my godmother. It was there, you know. And actually, even when I was in church, when I used to hear like the you know Christ's pastime, these things, I used to feel some... You know, some ecstasy. So must have been for some previous lifetime. There's some kind of activity like that. Actually, Prabhupada says almost you know, very few of the people we're preaching to in this lifetime will become devotees in this lifetime. You know? And one common phrase is you never harvest in the same season you plant. Devotee in San Jose. You never harvest in the same season you plant. So we're going out talking to so many people, trying to help them, give them some idea like that at work, our friends, associates. And some people, you can see they're not bad or anything, but they just can't understand. It's just something makes sense. When you die, though, you're looking for, really seriously looking for something to hang on to. My dog, my cat, my bank balance, my nation, my mother, my father, they're all going. What was that guy talking about? With those Hare Krishnas hopping up and down the corner like that with these orange robes, nobody pays them. You know? So then your next lifetime you're looking for that. You know? So from the time I was a child I was attracted to religion. You know? Actually I was attracted to Oriental art and Mexican food. That's why I still like Chinese Mexican in my last lifetime. And then, so many things. I went to a Christian church, and there wasn't much knowledge. There was some like that, but it wasn't really much. Yeah. And then I tried so many things, different philosophies, looking, and some idea from different things. You find some idea here, some idea there, and you keep going up. And then finally, one devotee was selling books at University of California campus, and he preached to me, and I bought the book, and I read it for 1 year like that. And then I remember certain points. For example, at one point, I was reading the Krishna book. It was the first summary of the 10th canto. Srila Prabhupada's summary of the 10th canto, the Krishna book. Big letters, you know. And I was reading this Krishna and Jarasandha attacked Mathura. And then Krishna came out and was killing people. Then Balaram was kind of envious. He came out and killed more people. And the heads were like tortoises floating in the blood, and the jewelry was like little colored pebbles, and the arms and the legs had been cut off were like floating seaweed, and something else happened, and Sudama Brahmana went to Krishna's palace, and Krishna took two grains of rice, or three, one or two, two pieces of chipped rice, and when he went home, his wife had beautiful saris and everything else, and a little cottage, their apartment house was turned into a celestial palace, and servants were coming, and all these things, you know. And Prabhupada was presenting all this as fact, you know, like that, and very sober facts. You know? So at one point, my mind, as it does, it was said, like, wow, this is either the biggest lie I ever heard, or else it's the absolute truth. Then my mind went to the next step. Well, if it's the absolute truth, or an absolute lie, either way, it's absolute. My mind was not too bad. And I realized, yes, there's nobody on earth I've ever read who even lies like this. It's like, just
so consistent.
Yeah, even like you read like The Lord of the Rings or what's the other one now? Harry Potter. There's nothing like this. Srimad Bhagavatam is just so intense, it's continuous, you know. And all it gets so outrageous. So at that point I realized, wow, this book is like appears to be the absolute truth. You know? So I was reading it more. And every philosophy I came in contact with before, and I was reading a lot, and it was there. Probably explained them all from the general principles, karma mimamsa, and so many things. The general ideas were all explained so nicely, you know. So then I thought, okay, this seems to be like, real experience. So I went to the temple in San Francisco, finally found it. And I visited for 1 year. And then after 1 year, I moved in, and then I got initiated. I got about 74, And different levels. You understand something very generally, but you know, as it goes on, it becomes Madhyamadhikari means he has faith. You know, I have some experience, and I've been to Hawaii. I know it exists. It's a good place, but I had to come back because I couldn't stay there. You know, but you know, I want to get a job there. I want to, you know, do this, that, everything else. So Madhyamadhikari has some experience of reality, and he doesn't reject that. He wants it. He understands he has problems. He's going through these things. He has many doubts, you know, but he has faith that that Krishna will relieve them all. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is a Madhyamadhikari. He's taken initiation from Krishna. He's surrendered to him, and he has many, many doubts. Right? But he has, at least he has his faith that Krishna can remove them. If Krishna can't do that, there's no obligation to go on like that. That's the deal. Just all we're asking, you should listen with an open mind. That's all that Krishna's asking Arjuna. Just listen with an open mind like that. And Arjuna's pretty much like that. Sometimes he becomes a little bit arrogant, and Krishna's sarcastic with him, you know. But basically, he's a good disciple. Just, you know, I'm not convinced. I'm not ready to fight. But, you know, if you can convince me, I'll do it. Like that. You know? So then you gradually develop your logic. Your intelligence becomes completely satisfied like that. Everybody has to develop their own logic. Individual logic, you know, and then you have to cross over the ocean of the absolute truth. Godzilla waiting for you out there somewhere to eat your boat, right? So you get a very, very good logic, simple, but you know, about everything, like that. Yeah. And then when the Buddha is purified, the intelligence is purified. Practically, you're speaking here with Krishna, Vishuddha Sattva, and little something is necessary, like that, to take you to Krishna, you know, Guru. Balaram has to little push, you know. Yeah. So that's my experience. Any devotee, I work different things and different experiences. You go through so many things. You have to test this out. For example, one time I came back from Manipur, and it was Supnamana Maharaj there. I was probably one of the first Western people to go to Manipur in hundreds of years. But it's a very nice place. Everybody has hand looms in the house, and all the clothes they're wearing are made by their sister and mother. You know, it's like a very nice place. And they have 13 major festivals in 12 months. Gaur Purnima goes on for 1 week. Jamasmi goes on for 72 hours without stopping. Beautiful, deep, profound tala, raga, music, everything. It's so very nice in many ways. Also headhunters too. You know. But anyway, very nice. So I was leaving, coming back to Calcutta. And all these, like, you know, chutters and everything everybody had given me. And I got to Calcutta. And then I was alone. I wasn't with Maharaj or anybody else. And I had to get back to Delhi, you know. So I landed in the train station, kind of. And I was like, you know, I refused to pay for a hotel. Like, to stay there. So I went to the train station, you know. And I'm a very miserly person. You know? So I didn't know what was going on, really, you know. So trying to find out, I was going to go to buy a ticket on the train. Like that. I'd go to the counter to buy a ticket. And they said, no, there's nothing available for days, you know. So finally there was one, all these thieves were looking at me in the Calcutta train station and all these things I have, you know. So finally there was one, the Delhi Express was leaving, you know, so I just bought a ticket for that for 20 rupees or something. I asked 450 rupees to go to Delhi, you know. I should have told me what was happening in the first place. So I got on, oh my God, there's an unreserved second class car. I got on and people are stacked up like anything, and they're cursing me for getting on, you know, and making it more crowded. And then my bags, you know, I'm a foreigner. So I was there, and it's going to be difficult. You know? So then I made this deal with God, with Krishna. If I would just chant Hare Krishna, it would be okay, like that. So I'm chanting, and I had no place to sit down. I was standing up for about 5 hours before I got a place to squat down like that. You know? Maybe like 4 more hours before I could get the edge of a wooden seat, the edge like that. And if you wanted to use the bathroom, you had to kind of like, you know, climb, like a gymnasium type thing over people. And there was one old lady who stacked her bale of straw up there, and you couldn't close the door, and she was sitting there smoking BDs looking at you in the bathroom like that. So I went back to my place and, you know, so it went on and on like that. And nobody stayed more than about 6 hours, really. I was up for 2 days or something like that. But I just kept chanting. And I actually realized that the mental suffering is worse than physical suffering, you know. So, you know, you go through experiences like that and you say, well, you know, are you sure Hare Krishna mantra can deliver you from death? You say, well, I don't know about death, but I went from a second-class train, you know, from Calcutta to Delhi. And death is probably worse, but, you know, I've it's better than anything else I know, like that. I'm not counting on, you know, the local hospital to help me, you know. Very limited, you know. When I die. So you go through so many experiences. You know, you develop your logic, your experience, you test it out, and you get some, you know, you make progress. And after a while, you even know the levels of progress. Doshrada, Sarusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Nardana Rekti, Nishtha, Rujya, Sakti, Baba Prema. You know, okay, this is where I'm at. This is the medicine I need. Okay? Yeah.
Then you just were talking about chanting.
Yeah.
Like, you're a psychologist. The psychologist would say that's because, you know, you are actually, by repeating the same word,
yeah,
you're taking your mind away from the sufferings. That's why, so you could have chanted it. Why chant it?
But according to this philosophy, if I was chanting, oh my, why can't I say that? Trastero. Oh, my aching rear end. sitting on a wooden bench. Okay. On the edge of a wooden bench.
No, you could have chanted.
But what I was saying, oh, my rear end, oh, my rear end, oh, my rear end, my rear end. You know? But I was saying Coca-Cola, I would be thinking about my tongue, right? What is Coca-Cola? Coca-Cola is lemon, lime, cinnamon, and nutmeg. That's the flavor. You can make Coca-Cola hollow if you want to. Right? But I'd be thinking about, you know, the flavor, the taste, the carbonation. Oh, I wish I had a cold Coca-Cola now. Oh, yeah, it's like that.
Yeah. No, but what I'm saying is they might, you didn't try it, so you don't know what it's going to
be. Well, I don't know. If I chanted Coca-Cola, I would be thinking about my body and, like, and how I was suffering like that. So that's the point, yeah, because, yeah, whatever you're chanting, everybody's chanting something, some song, some music, something going over and over again. But it's about your body, then it comes back to the body, which is destined to die, grow old, have diseases. But the whole thing, Maha Mantra, it's not about these things. Yeah? If you receive it from the right source, it's coming from the spiritual platform, and yes, you can connect to Krishna. Prabhupada says an ordinary person can come to a big kirtan festival, and even chanting like that with association of devotees, and he can have an experience, yes. Transcendental experience like that. And that's the bija. Without the bija, it doesn't matter how good you are. Nice soil, nice air, nice rain, protection from animals, no seed, no mango. Yeah. So Varna Ashram system is to be the mode of goodness. And it grows very quickly, very, very nicely. Like that.
Yeah.
Any other atheists here? Get a complaint.
You call Vritrasura,
yeah,
and he's actually a devotee,
yeah,
of Krishna, but then we still call him Asura.
Yeah.
And Prahlad Maharaj also is,
yeah,
from an Asura Kula,
that's,
but he's never called as an Asura. He's also a devotee.
Maybe because one was acting like a demon. Prahlad was acting like a devotee, and Vritrasura was acting like a demon because he was attacking the devatas.
How can a devotee attack devatas?
That was his whole karma. He was cursed to act like that.
Okay.
And with the Parvati, he accepted the curse. Like that. Yeah.
So by nature, he's not?
No. No. Yeah. Yeah, there are examples like that. But then there's, you know, even Jayan Vijayan, they're devotees. You know, but they have this samadhi curse with the Kumaras. And they could have come as devotees for seven births, but they chose to be asuras instead because it was three births and go back. Because Krishna wanted to play. He wanted to wrestle, fight.
That is different, a little bit different, because
yeah,
they don't remember their past.
Yeah.
And so they have just come to fulfill their curse.
Yeah.
But Vritrasura, he knows what is right, what is wrong. So
maybe
if he has that propensity, he could have. I mean, he's a devotee, so he could have overcome.
Yeah, maybe. He says, for example, maybe under the intense pressure, he remembered himself. But also, we see ourselves. This is Diksha Kale, Bhakti Kari, Atma Samarpan, Se Kale Krishna Kari Kari Atma Sam. in the moment of Diksha, Diksha Kali, Bhakti Kari, Atma Samarpan, when we surrender to Krishna at that moment, Atma Samarpan, Sei Kali, that time, Krishna, Krishna Tari Kari Atma Sam, Krishna takes us as good as ourselves. So we're out of the modes of nature. Passion, ignorance, goodness, all these things are happening to us. We're being impulsed. We don't even know it. What's happening? We have no control. In the mode of goodness, we have some intelligence. We can make some choices. That's how we create our new karma. For the time of initiation, then the reins, the strings, the ropes, the gunas, under Maya's control, Durga's control, she passes into Radharani. Right? Now we still have our karma, our nature. Maybe it's being adjusted to some degree, but maybe it's not. For example, I know one devotee, his name was Buddhimanta Das. He was the first person to ever distribute 100 of Prabhupada's big books in one day. You know, very determined, you know. A very passionate person from Nashville, Tennessee. He showed me, for example, he could drink an entire liter of ice-cold 7-Up in one breath. He finished it off and he said, "You know, Hanuman, if I hadn't become a devotee, this would have been beer." So Krishna changed his karma, you know. But Krishna doesn't need all Brahmins. He needs sentimental ladies. He needs passionate warriors, you know. He would eat one jar of peanut butter, one tub of sour cream, and one head of cauliflower. This is a daily diet, anything sankirtan. And of course, you can imagine what his energy level was. You go out to people like that and in the book. You know? But he died of brain cancer at 38, at that too. You know? So this is a Kshatriya, right? Live fast, die young, and have a good-looking corpse. die young, but yeah, did more than he. Yeah, he probably distributed more books than women distributed in our lifetime, and so on. You know? So his karma was adjusted, so it was in the range of devotional service. But myself, many times you have this experience of I can't give this up. And so actually identically what Arjuna is saying. I can't just walk off in the forest and chant Hare Krishna and be a jnani. I know that. But I can't kill my nephews either, too. So damned if you do and damned if you don't. What do I do? Krishna says, do your karma, right? But surrender the results to me. Well, why can't I just give it all up like a jnani? Because you're not in that level yet. Do your karma. Do it for me. It's some pushing you. You're attached. Sacrifice the results to me. And then you acquire knowledge. Become a wise man.
So here, Ritrasura, even though he knew that this is wrong, but he was doing his karma.
Right? Yeah, because and also, too, he didn't want to nullify the words of Mother Parvati.
He was crushed.
Yeah. He could have... I think he could have said he could have nullified it, or else he could have countered her. But he said, no, it's okay. Yeah. It's all Bhishma. Yudhishthira was invited to this game of dice, a friendly game of dice, by his grandfather, by his father, uncle. So he had to. He always obeyed his superiors. So I have to go and accept this. His uncle is asking me to go. But everybody knew it was something more than a friendly game of dice. You know? So Krishna's walking around. He says, "Oh, Pitamaha, Bhishma." He says, yeah. What do you want? He says, "You're a great Kshatriya. I want to ask some charity from you." He said, "Well, what do you want?" He said, "Okay, you promise to give me? Of course I'll give you. What do you want?" He said, "Everybody knows there's going to be some dirty business in this dice game. And I think it's going to come down to something where they're going to ask you as the oldest person whether or not it's righteous or just like that. You're going to have to make some decision like that. So I want to ask from you that you don't get involved like that. You don't make that decision like that. It happens." And Bhishma says, "Well, okay. Shri Krishna." So it goes on like that, and Draupadi's finally there with her clothes being taken off by Dushasana, and she's appealing to everybody for justice. She asks her husbands, and they say, "We can't do anything because we've given our vow to be the slaves of Duryodhana. So according to the Dharma, we can't do this." And it goes on and on, and they're saying, "Well, we can take your clothes off because you're our slave now," like that. And so finally, she appeals to Bhishma. She said, "This is not Dharma. These people say they're willing to follow Dharma, but this is not Dharma. This is adharma. Isn't it, Bhishma?" And Bhishma is going to say, "Yes, it's a dharma," and stop the whole thing. But then he remembers his promise to Krishna. He says, "I can't say." And everybody thinks he can't distinguish. It's so fine. Like that. And he sees, this Devaki Nandana is playing his chess game. Like that. Yeah. And so it's a very bad thing. He's in some ways demoniac, but Krishna has his game. Yeah. So sometimes we play... And then we see, playing certain roles. Yeah. Yeah. Devaki Nandana Ki. So we should all become purified. And then wherever we go, whoever we meet, we'll also purify them just naturally. You know? One devotee, she's a librarian in Berkeley, and she checks out books, and everyone knows she's a devotee. She says, so many, even the mayor of Berkeley, the city there, is coming in and asking her questions like that about philosophical things like that and stuff like that. And this person has some knowledge. You know, what should I do about this and that? And what do you think about the war in Iraq? And, you know, so many human beings, the modern system makes everybody very stupid. It's kind of like just get some games and follow, read the paper. But some people, they have some intelligence, they have some thoughtfulness, you know. According to experts on communication, Noam Chomsky, the modern society is about 80% controlled information in favor of what the system wants you to believe, like that. 90% of all bookstores, television stations, radio stations are owned by 30 corporations. That's where you get behind it. Oh, you have your choice of newspapers, but it's owned by the same corporation. And they, in totalitarian states, you hear one thing, you have to do it. But in the liberal state, you know, 80% of the information is what they want you to hear, and 20% not only is allowed to hear something, but they demand you hear something else. You think, oh yes, I have freedom to hear different things and different opinions. Yeah, you do, but then 4 times out of 5, you know. And so people generally then they accept what the system wants. But there's some freedom of communication here, some idea like that. So if you have some idea, some perception, then you can help people like that. You know? So chant Hare Krishna, read books, and you know, take advantage of this. You know, Bharate Bhumite Hoile, Manusha Janmayar, Janma Sartaka Kara Parakaro Pakar. And I hope no Bengali is here. Right? But Vajrayana says, anybody who's taken his birth in Varsha as a human being should take advantage of his heritage and make his own life perfect and then do good for others like that. You know? So the best machines in the world come from machines. Germany, as a joke. In the European heaven, the Italians are the cooks, the Germans are the mechanics, the French are the lovers, the Swiss are the judges, and the British are the police. In the European hell, the British are the cooks, the Swiss are the lovers, the Germans are the police, the Italians are the judges, if you know Italy. And I forgot what else goes on. So the Swiss are the mechanics, which you get citron. Name one famous British recipe. It's nothing. That's it. Or Yorkshire pudding. That's like a... So everybody has their nature, their karma. You look in the Encyclopedia Britannica, there's only one country where it has an entry that says the philosophy of. Doesn't say the philosophy of Germany, doesn't say the philosophy of China, it says the philosophy of India. It's the only country in the world where they consider that this is such a thing. There's a whole separate discussion like that. You know? So here you are in Houston, the software engineer. How did I get here? Yeah, because Krishna sent you here. Yeah, to you can, you know, you can gradually make your whole workplace, you know, the consciousness can go up like that. Yeah, in motivation. You know, so many times in business, people are just want to do dirty things to make money. Right? There's so many horrible stories about it. One example: Nestle's. A very nice company, they sell chocolate milk. In South America, they were giving Bolivian girls, these young girls and new babies, free baby formula. And they said, this will make your baby strong like an American, you know, bring them strong. So these girls were saying, oh yes. But they gave them just enough so their breast milk dried up. Then they had to buy it, right? Very clever marketing technique. And a lot of these girls didn't have the money to do it, so their babies died of malnutrition like that. Right? So this became public news, and Nestle's did a lot of propaganda work to cover over this. But still, that, you know, sometimes in business that motivation is there, make money at any cost. You know? But if you have talking to other people, I can say, well, come on, let's try and go for some quality here. Let's try and do something good for society and make money. Well, okay. You know? So everybody's in a position to make some decision. Some, you can push the whole thing a little bit one way or the other, like that. You know, in World War II, one airplane, the Enola Gay. You know this airplane? Yeah. It's coming towards, that was Nagasaki first, you know, for the atom bomb. And the pilot's flying there, I don't know, it's 14,000 feet, you know, like that. Gets within 20 miles and turns, you know, you open the bomb bay doors and arm the instrument, and he turns over control of the airplane to the bombardier for the final flying, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then the bombardier decides, I'm not going to do it. What do you mean you're not going to do it? It's wrong. All this technical stuff, you know. Because somebody made that decision. He had this position where he made this decision, which killed like 180,000 people. One person, I think. But so big decisions sometimes are the small decisions. But, you know, Einstein said, science can tell us how things are, but it can't tell us how they should be. Like, that comes from some other source, you know. So we have to develop this knowledge of how things should be. Yeah? I know one devotee, he was working for a farmer. Big commercial farmer, and the guy said, put this insecticide on all the plants like that. And the guy's looking at it and said, do not use this within 10 days before harvest. And he goes and shows the guy and says, we're going to harvest these things in 3 days, right? 3 days, right? And the farmer said, yeah, but we're not going to eat those tomatoes. So that's the kind of food you're getting because of business. So learn something. Read Bhagavad Gita, have these nice satsang programs like that, chant Hare Krishna. And then you can really do so much, everybody. Even a dog can take part right now like that and dance in ecstasy. So go get some kirtans in some.
Yeah, I'll just bring those sheets. Okay. 25 sheets.
How far away is it?
Just 1 minute.
1 minute. Okay, time. Go. Yeah. So any final questions, comments? I've been visiting here for a long time. It's, you know, Houston. Things are growing. Yeah. Somehow or other. Yeah. Everybody's growing.
Yeah,
it's getting bigger. It's growing. Yeah. Prabhupada said, if you follow the principles I'm giving strictly of this yoga, and your children follow them, then your grandchildren will be traveling on flying carpets.
Wow.
Yeah. If you follow the principles strictly, Brahma Muhurta, chanting Jap principles, and your children follow those principles, and your grandchildren will be traveling on flying carpets. They'll have this. You already see within one generation, it's amazing how the children change. Let's see, two generations strictly following. You get, you know, real stapatis who can do miracles with Vastu, real jyotish who can understand what's happening. You know, like that. What else? Jyotish, Vastu, Dhanurved, Gandharva Veda. Yeah. This is a very nice song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You know who he is? He's our Paramacharya. He's, you know, the guru of our guru's guru. But he's a very, very powerful magistrate under the British. He's not an ordinary human being. So a lot of his preaching he did by songs. So this is a Bengali song. And because today we're inaugurating, placing Shishi Gornatai on the altar, and their name is Doyal Nitai, Chaitanya. Daya Nitai, right? Daya? In Hindi? Daya?
Daya.
But in Bengali, Doyal. Chanting the holy names of Doyal Nitai. Chanting the holy names of Doyal Nitai Chaitanya. Oh, my mind dances. Oh, my mind dances. My mind dances. Oh, my God. Oh, such a merciful personality as Hijananda Bhu is not to be found anywhere. He suffers a beating from Jagai and Madai and still gives him love of God. Oh, when your offenses are vanquished, you will obtain the treasure of love of God. But in these names of Chaitanya and Nitai, there is no consideration of offenses. Once you have a taste for the holy name of Krishna, bondage to this world will end. Well, when there is attachment to the holy name of Krishna, then very easily the life of a living being becomes successful. Without affection for Krishna, life is simply useless. At the end of life, you obtain the beautiful vision of Radha and Shyam and Vrindavan, only if the mercy of the Lord Gura is received. Doyam nitai chaitanya boling
amarman. Doyam nitai chaitanya boling amarman.
You know the song? Let me tell you. Yeah. I have a hard time with it. Number two.
Nitai Goranga
Chanatana ki
jai,
Bhopal ki
jai,
Bhakta Riksha ki
jai,
Raghurang Devani Bhav.
His Holiness Sarvat Prashak Swami Maharaj ki
jai.
Yeah.